Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary. Appreciate the chance to visit.
Good speaking with you.
Obviously, the president put a stake in the ground last night regarding infrastructure, saying the United States needs to be a world leader once again in infrastructure. Our network serves agriculture. We depend on roads, bridges, ports, rail to move our product to market. Give us your take on what the infrastructure message last night means for our farmers, ranchers, food and fuel processors.
Well, agriculture is a huge part of what's on the president's mind and the administration's mind when we talk about having first-rate infrastructure. You know, I think the term supply chain used to be something that people who worked in shipping or in ag thought about, maybe wasn't a household term or a kitchen table term. That's really changed in the last couple of years. I think people more than ever understand the importance of supply chains precisely because of everything that we've been through as a consequence of the economic shockwaves of the pandemic and just the underinvestment that happened over many, many years. And the great thing about last night was that the president wasn't just saying that as part of making a case for something we wish would happen. He was saying that after passing the most significant legislation on infrastructure since the Eisenhower years. What that means is we're going to have better ports to get agricultural exports out to market. We're going to have better highways and bridges for goods to be able to move across. We're going to have better trains. Even if you have nothing to do with ag, but you live in a rural community, you're really going to benefit from these rural investments on things like getting rid of these railroad crossings that can be such a frustration when you're stuck waiting for a train. And in many cases, we can eliminate a railroad crossing by setting up an underpass or an overpass or something like that. So these are things that are going to be a quality of life improvement and certainly an economic improvement, supporting the farmers who feed America and make it possible for rural America to thrive.
You mentioned the supply chain. Obviously, it's been a challenging couple of years with backups at the ports. We've had some issues on the Mississippi River, concerns that go to rail and everything else. A lot of it can be blamed on the pandemic, even weather disasters. As you look ahead this year for that farm-to-food system, how do you see it looking? What's your situation going into this new year?
Well, we've gained a lot of ground compared to the worst days of the supply chain crises. I mean, even by the end of 2021, not long after we saw headlines about how Christmas was going to be canceled, we wound up having the most goods move through our ports ever. I mean, setting records. So there's been progress. There's a long way to go. Look, some of the failure to invest that we're seeing around the country, that's built up over 30, 40 years. But what you're going to see now is a different trajectory. And, spades are going to go into the ground this year. We've got construction getting lined up more and more at bridges and other projects around the country. Won't happen overnight. I mean, we're talking about really an infrastructure decade to put America on the right footing. But we've not been able to do this in my lifetime, and it's going to make a huge and I think very positive difference.
How do these infrastructure improvements balance out between urban and rural areas?
One thing that's very important to this administration is to make sure that no one is left behind in these investments. As a matter of fact, you look at some programs like our infra program, which is our main supply program where we supply chain program where we do grants for things like major road improvements and other things that are going to help move goods. There's a requirement of about 25% of that going to rural areas. We nearly doubled that because that's just where a lot of the good project ideas were coming from that we wanted to make sure to fund as a department. We even have a program that's in the president's infrastructure package that's specifically for rural areas only, the rural surface transportation program, because we know that sometimes they get left out. You got smaller communities, don't have an army of lobbyists to help them get a project funded here in D.C. And we're working hard to make sure that every part of the country benefits, communities large, small, and in between.
Secretary, there was a focus on electric vehicles in the president's speech as well last night. Certainly, as you know, the Midwest is a leader in ethanol production. In North Dakota, we've got 3 soybean crush plants being built for renewable diesel. Of course, North Dakota is also a leading oil state. How do you see this transition to EV happening? What's it mean to some of the traditional fuels and renewable fuels that we have?
Well, this is a transition that we know isn't going to happen overnight. President spoke about that last night. But you are going to see, you know, things like diesel and ethanol probably being more of the mix for heavy-duty vehicles, aviation, shipping, and other uses over time, less part of light-duty vehicles like the cars we drive around. And I want to emphasize that rural Americans are among those who have the most to benefit from this EV transition. And the reason I say that is that it's simple. The more you drive, the longer distances you cover, the more you're spending on gas and diesel that you could save, because while it is not free to charge a vehicle, it is almost always cheaper than it is to fill it up on gas or diesel. And I think more and more families are seeing that. But we've got to make sure that these vehicles are affordable to everybody and that you can charge them. One thing that we're doing in our department is funding charging stations going in, so that you always know you're never going to go to more than 50 miles without being able to charge up. Just as you always know when you take a road trip, there's going to be some gas stations out there. This is, again, not a transition that's happening overnight, but it's also a transition that's already underway here and around the world. And one thing that's very important to the president and to the administration is that this is a made-in-America EV revolution. Look, China is making a very strong play to lead the world on EVs. They've definitely gotten a jump start, no pun intended, on battery production, refining, dealing with those raw materials. It doesn't have to be that way. And that's why we're investing to make sure everything from the sourcing and the refining of the materials that go into EVs to just the ability to afford them, buy them, charge them, and use them is something where America has the advantage instead of trying to catch up to some other country.
I believe the president threw out a 10-year number out there last night. Is that kind of the time period you see for this transition?
Well, by the end of this decade, the president says we need to have 500,000 chargers out there, and that's an ambitious target, but one that we need to hit. Now, that said, I mean, there's still going to be a lot of combustion vehicles on the road a decade from now. That's one of the reasons why we're pushing strong fuel economy standards and other measures to make sure that we can have cleaner air and that people can save money filling up. But there's no question in my mind that by the time we get to the end of this decade, if we do our job right, we will see a very strong American EV sector accounting for most likely the majority of new vehicle sales.
Final question. I'm just curious, what kind of cooperation do you see between, say, your department and agriculture and some of the other agencies that serve rural America?
You know, so much of what we work on and what the Department of Agriculture works on is connected. I've gotten to know Secretary Vilsack very well. We've worked together on any number of issues. We were working together during the concerns around rail labor to make sure that farmers didn't get stuck without the supplies that they needed. We've worked on making sure that supply chains are ironed out. And we talk often about how the rural development side of the USDA House and our grant making, where we're funding things like roads and bridges and community improvements, can work together. So I see a lot of opportunity here. We've actually got a dedicated team within our department called the Routes Team that specifically works on making sure that rural communities have a good shot at our opportunities and our programs. And I think it's one of the areas where we can do a lot of good.
Good deal. So, Mr. Secretary, appreciate your time.
Same here. Good speaking with you. Thanks. Take care.